5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Shout out to Jack Howell. That was a great, great first show with him. And thanks to our presenting sponsor, Crazy Carl's Pizza, for believing in these programs each and every year. They've been with us for a while now. And Int Credit Union. Jack put out his offensive and game ball, you know, offensive and defensive game balls he's thrown out. Pretty good choice, right? Torrey Horton getting the offensive game ball and getting Mo Kamara with the defensive game ball, thanks to Int Credit Union. So each and every week, Jack will be doing that. Man, he's a great guy. He's an excellent dude, and really appreciate him jumping on each and every week with us here. And I'll let you know, again, those are going to be pre-recorded on Mondays. So if you guys have texts, comments, questions for Jack each and every week, then you can send it to us ahead of time, and we'll try to get those posted to him on Monday when we record it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, what do you make of the NFL going after or filing a grievance against the NFLPA over advising running backs to fake injuries for leverage? This is an interesting thing here. NFL Players Association President J.C. Treader suggested that running backs fake injuries to create leverage without suggesting that running backs fake injuries to create leverage. It sounded like the union could have a problem. He did kind of suggest that, and now you wonder if the NFL is starting to look at that a little bit closer. They filed a grievance, in fact, accusing the union of advising them to do just that thing. This is crazy. I mean, we discussed the running back situation and the contracts or the lack thereof contracts in the offseason, but at the end of the day, we've discussed it. Andrew, you're seeing running backs, guys you do know, guys you don't know, come in and put together some decent games, and you're still seeing the star running backs do those things as well. It's just very tough because that position, you know, obviously like the Christian McCaffreys, they're going to always, I mean, they're just that good of players. But you look at some of these other guys that are at the top right now, and we're 2 weeks in, so there's a lot to be sorted out. But you got like Brian Robinson. He's up there in the top seven or eight as far as yardage gained. DeAndre Swift's there, obviously. You know, Nick Chubb was there. James Cook out of Buffalo. You know, top 12, you see like David Montgomery. Angel, you're going to see just a lot of different names each and every week. And that is only going to help the NFL's case when they're talking about, well, it's one of those positions that you're good for a little bit. And then, you know, the very, very next year, you might have another guy come in and be able to run extremely well. You see rookie running backs. Talk about Brian Robinson with Washington. He was a rookie last year. He had almost 1,000 yards rushing, I believe. And so it's not crazy to think rookies or unknown rookies come in and can flirt with 800 to 1,000 yards in that first year, even if they're not in a first-round pick or second round even. But it was just terrible timing coming off of the Nick Chubb thing, because that was a terrible injury. And it does show you how rough the position of playing running back is in the NFL. I mean, these guys are running into gigantic scrums sometimes. And, you know, the forward momentum kind of thing, a lot of times their legs get caught up in all of that. I'm surprised you don't see more leg injuries, to be honest, with the way that these guys run and get caught up in those scrums. But until you see, like, your top 5 to 10 running backs for 5 years straight constantly putting up big numbers, then you're going to see the NFL basically go this route of running back by committee. That's what, I mean, heck, I know the Broncos aren't a great example. Their offense is getting going. Look at the amount of carries, you know, that, well, in this game, it wasn't as crazy because they didn't run a lot. They stopped running the ball. But the week before that, Javonte Williams and Samaje Perine had almost the same amount of runs. I don't know why the Broncos did not run Perine, by the way. He had one carry in that game against Washington for 4 yards. But Javonte only had 12. It's just not as big a part of the game plan anymore. Especially when you're seeing quarterbacks that can run. Russell Wilson was the leading rusher for the Broncos over the weekend, and everybody is kind of going on the same lines of Russ has lost a step, yet he still ran for 56 yards, about 12 more than what Javonte ran for. This, for so many reasons, is why we're seeing the fall of the running back position, or at least the marquee running back position right now. Like, if you look at the top running backs, the starting running backs, how many of them would you look at and say, those guys are the center of that offense, like they're the focus of that offense, or they're at least the second or third focus? You don't see that a lot. You tell me about Miami. What's their running back situation like?
31-year-old Raheem Mostert, 28-year-old Jeff Wilson, and a rookie.
And Mostert's up there. I think he's got like 160 yards or something like that. But
and he's coming off of an ACL 2 years ago.
Do you think that they, I mean, again, the injury thing is an interesting note. Should they get a bigger chunk in their first contracts? If they're, because they're not going to get, a lot of these guys aren't going to get big time second or third contracts. Like Melvin Gordon just keeps getting contracts. That's kind of rare what we're seeing. Look how long it took Ezekiel Elliott to get picked up. And that would have been his third contract, I believe. You're not seeing a lot of running backs after their rookie year. Yeah, they might get that second one, but Even Barkley, like, yeah, it's
big contract. Then he blew out his knee and he was done. It's
Le'Veon
I get
Bell.
Why you want your money, and the case on both sides makes sense. You want your money because you're more prone to injury, but because you are more prone to injury, I can't financially give you that money because it's not going to make sense for the team.
It's the position, and again we talk about these guys like they're. They're not human sometimes, but it is the position that is expendable. You know, if Javonte Williams goes down today, you would go, okay, Samaje Perine's going to get those carries now. I wouldn't be shocked if he puts together. I could easily see Samaje Perine getting 44 yards against Washington if he got 12 carries. And that is a third string, fourth string guy. I mean, I know he's the Broncos' second string guy. But you can see that. And it just goes back to that conversation we had in the offseason of quarterbacks are running more. They're throwing it way more than they ever have. Tight ends are becoming basically wide receivers. Therefore, wide receivers are becoming running backs in some sense. Jet sweeps and all that stuff. You're seeing that more and more often. Screen passes, those are big. Because you're trying to get your really fast wide receivers in space quickly. Because if your offensive line can't hold up for a guy to go on a 10 and out route or whatever, you see a lot more of those screen passes because it's like, how do we get the ball into a stud receiver's hands, or in some cases a tight end's hands, quickly? Quick little comeback routes. Travis Kelce can go over the middle and go deep, but he can make a living off of seven and comeback. Little 7 yard comeback routes. They're just not valued like they used to be. It's just that position. You know, it's like the fullback position. That used to be a pretty important position for a lot of teams. Now it's unique when you hear a team lines up a fullback more often than not. It's a very rare thing that happens. And even then, when you see unique fullbacks, you see them put into different situations where they're really just brought in to just be another blocker, essentially. They're not like Mike Alstott, who is like a primary focus of an offense. So I get it. These guys are running backs the most injury prone on an offense? Would you say that?
Outside of linemen, yeah.
Yeah.
As receivers, it's more often than not small tissue things. Quarterbacks are
protected so well, you don't see a lot of injuries with quarterbacks
linemen,
these days.
It's easier to hide an injury.
Concussions happen a lot. Yep. You do get rolled up on ankle injuries and stuff. Mm-hmm.
I mean, running backs, it's you're going into a car accident every time you run the ball.
Do you think that they should try to figure something out where these guys are getting paid more? Because I'm looking at it from a business standpoint. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
At this point, I don't know if there is a number that you can bring to the table that'll get both of them to sit down. I don't think the NFL wants to pay more than they think, and the running backs are asking more than they want, than more than they can get. So something's going to have to budge.
Flying Dutchman says most of the running backs drafted can run. The question is, can they block and pick up the blitz packages? That's the separator. Good point. Look how many 1,000-yard rushers Mike Shanahan had that people never heard of. Exactly. After Terrell Davis, I mean, Clinton Portis was a stud. He went on to go with Washington. I think he was close to 10,000 career rushing yards. But then it was Mike Anderson. It was Alandis Gary. It was Peyton Hillis. These were guys that, you know, Peyton Hillis got on Madden, but that was it. These were guys that really were rocking for Denver, but it was all about your offensive line, and you're seeing that, guys. Teams will spend a lot more money on their tackles, on their guards. So, because if you could create a good line, if you can have a really good offensive line, I mean, what's more difficult? Bad offensive line, great running back. Great offensive line, bad running back. The great offensive line, bad running back, you're more likely to get yards because that guy's just got to run. All running backs in the NFL can run and run hard. You give me a good offensive line, they just got to find the open space. A good running back behind a bad offensive line, Derrick Henry can only break so many tackles. I mean, you saw last night with Najee Harris, right, with Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He's breaking tackles. I mean, there were several times he was tackled in the backfield, busted out, and created something. That's not happening on a daily basis. You're not seeing Barry Sanders go 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage to put moves on people and then find an opening and take off. Because the speed is unreal on the defensive side of the ball now. So finding running backs that can get out on the edge, that's all good in college. It's not happening like it used to in the NFL because of the speed, because defensive ends don't look like defensive ends from 1994 anymore.
Yeah, everybody's faster. So, you know, when your receivers are super fast, your corners have to be fast. When your linemen can move quickly, your D linemen and your linebackers have to be quick, and they have to go sideline to sideline quickly, and that cuts down on it shortens the running lanes. It shortens, you know, how much a running back wants to seek out contact. They don't really do that much anymore. They don't lower their shoulder and run into a linebacker. I gotta get to the sidelines or just go down.
Smitty saying the running back position is the easiest position on the roster to fill. How hard is it to find Travis Kelce? Pretty tough, right? There's not many Travis Kelce's. There's not many tight ends that, even if you know the ball is going to him, it's still going to get there. They're that strong. It's difficult. I used to say this 10 years ago, maybe more, that finding, you know, a good receiver, dime a dozen. Great receiver, tough to find. It's getting easier to get great receivers now because of the amount of throws. Hey, I got to say the gloves. They've changed over the years, but also what they're doing in college. There's a lot more offenses that are throwing the ball like crazy now. Therefore, you're creating better receivers. Not a lot of ground and pound offenses nowadays, are there? I mean, in college football, it's moving pretty quickly. A lot of guys lining up in shotgun or using the running back in different ways. And that's where you have to separate. Flying Dutchman's talking about blocking, yes. But they also have to be able to separate themselves and be a pass catcher. That's what you're needing more out of these running backs on these offenses. For so many reasons, the game has changed. You're protecting the quarterback. Pass interference is called quite a bit. Defensive holding. The rules have helped wide receiver play so much over the years that I'm more likely to spend more money on a receiver number two and three. Obviously, number one's big, but I'm going to spend more money on two and three than I'm going to spend on a number one running back. There's not many Tennessee Titans out there. So I guess you can still blame the NFL because they changed the rules so much. Offenses are just taking advantage of it. I love how this league is a copycat league. Every year you see something unique happen, and then teams, the tush push, for example. That is a monster thing now. it's nothing for fourth and one on your own 40. You see that all the time. Guys just say, line up, push him forward. We got the momentum. We're leaning forward. Let's push this guy forward. You see trends in the NFL. And that trend, 10, 20 years ago, when the NFL's, you know, took away defensive backs and their ability to get physical with a receiver, it used to be they could get physical with a receiver until the ball was in the air. And now it's like, dude, they could barely do that. You got to be very careful. I think the last 2 weeks, I've seen them allow a little bit more physical play, but still, even watching that Browns game, Deshaun Watson wasn't great, but how many third and longs did he convert on just like a 15 and out route just because you're in a zone and they find the soft spot in the zone because you're so terrified that somebody's going to beat you deep. But still, that's setting up for I'm better off paying 1 through 3 receivers slash tight end than I am a number one running back. It's just part of the trends. And again, the NFL changed when they started seeing people like touchdown passes. They like 20-yard passes. You know, 5-yard rush here and a 4-yard rush here and another 3-yard rush. That's not selling tickets. Unless you get really spectacular running backs. Terrell Davis was fun to watch. Barry Sanders was fun to watch. And Derrick Henry's fun to watch. Nick Chubb was fun to watch. Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey. When you think about Christian McCaffrey, what's the thing you think sets him apart from historically good running backs?
Speed.
And that what he does with that in open space.
Yep.
Catching a football. Dylan Edwards for CU, their running back. I don't know how many rushing yards he has on the year. I don't think very many. But getting him out in space, take off. Get him out into the flats, little screen plays, things like that. Getting him in space, it's hard to create that space nowadays. So there's just so many things going against him. And again, I bring this up, the quarterback play. Quarterbacks can just as easily take off and run now. And more teams in the NFL, I would say more than not, have running quarterbacks. Hell, I'm looking at Garoppolo's not really a running quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes can run. Russ, hey, he had 56 yards. I know he's lost a step, but he can still move a little bit. Herbert can move when he needs to. He's not a running quarterback, but again, these guys have that tool belt. There's not a lot of Eli Mannings and Peyton Mannings. There's not a lot of Tom Brady's anymore. That's just what you're seeing with these trends. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors here, and that's Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Ryan Hicks, he and his partner, they are two UNC Bears alumni. They formed this thing 20 years ago. They've always had the backs of Northern Coloradoans. They care about our local preps programs, UNC sports, local events that are fundraisers for great community entities throughout Northern Colorado. You got to find those great business-minded people that get the community. There's tons of options when it comes to insurance. Find one that goes above and beyond and one that you hear is constantly supporting your community. That's when you know you got a good one. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, 970-674-8825. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825. They're working with you with farming operation insurance, commercial and personal insurance needs, risk management, all of it. Renaissance Insurance Group. 24 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, let's take a short break here. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, just for you guys, we'll recharge here. After seeing the crazy Rocky Mountain Showdown, do you believe that the Rams will, at the very least, get into a bowl game or even better? Yes, I have three options there. Or no, they're not quite there yet. The other is, I think they're not only going to get into a bowl game, but I think they're going to be in the thick of it when it comes to the Mountain West championship game by the end of the season. Those are two different things. Go vote at theholeshow.com. 25 after the hour. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 29 minutes after the hour. Thanks to Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm for sponsoring this program. You hear them throughout the day here on KFK. We know we live on dangerous roads in Weld County in northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Angel, I'm going to ask you for your gut reaction, a gut reaction here. Will Russell Wilson be the starting quarterback for the Broncos next season?
No.
I think you're right. I just don't see it. And I'm trying my best. I see moments. The pass he had to Mims and, you know, getting Brandon Johnson involved. The Hail Mary's the Hail Mary. I mean, that's just every quarterback can throw it to the end zone. It's up to somebody bopping that thing up in the air and catching it. He's had a better start. It's not easy. It looks so complicated. The two first halves, sure, probably the equivalent of about four possessions, you would say. Four possessions for the Broncos. Good. But if you think about it in the grand scheme of an actual game, it just looks clunky again. And now you got Sean Payton talking about wristbands and getting the play in. This is not stuff that you're dealing with a veteran quarterback that's in his mid-30s that, you know, went to two Super Bowls and won one. This is not stuff you should be dealing with anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's more frustrating because it's not as consistent as you'd expect it to be. Whether that's on Russ, whether that's on Payton, we'll have to just wait and see, but it's... Yeah,
it's better than it was last year.
Yeah, I think, but part of that is just because of the reaction to last year, because it was so unorthodox and we didn't expect to see that. It's hard for us to really put confidence back into Russell as fans and say, "No, I trust this guy to go out and give us a drive to win a game." It's really hard to say that right now, and I just think if that continues to fester, by the time we get to February, it's going to be, who's the top five quarterbacks on the board?
Yeah. Will they be bad enough to potentially get Caleb Williams? The schedule does not look good right now. If you couldn't beat Washington, and listen, maybe I'm wrong here, Angel. I'm not a big believer in either Washington or the Raiders right now.
That's fair.
I'm looking at both of those teams going, those aren't, I don't know if the Raiders are bad. They ended up getting smoked ultimately by Buffalo. Buffalo ran away.
I don't think either one of those teams are a playoff team.
I don't think so either. So
Washington is maybe, but that's just if the conference works its way out in their favor.
Yeah, so you've already lost to two teams that are probably not playoff teams. At home, two of your home games, crumpled up, thrown in the trash, those are losses. And we can go through the schedule till we're blue in the face, but just glance at it and tell me you feel really good about 10 wins. We probably still feel like 10 wins get you in the playoffs. Is it 9, 10, 11?
I think 10 is the bare minimum to put yourself in the wild card conversation. I don't think division is up for grabs this year, and I mean, it could be, maybe.
You ain't beating Kansas City twice. You probably aren't going to beat them at all. I know Kansas City's not as
threatening
right now, but we also said that last year, mm-hmm. And Kansas City gets better. So,
I mean, I'm still waiting to see with these Broncos. I do think they can improve and still pull out some consistent performances and get some wins. But I understand the frustration.
How about this? Let's say, because I asked you a lot in the offseason, like, if the Broncos miss the playoffs, does that mean it's the end for Russell Wilson? Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's the end? And you would always say, well, it depends on how the season goes. If you are... Let's say Russ is tearing it up, but defense is giving up 35 points a game, and it's different. Now, they're not giving that up, 17 to the Raiders and 35 to Washington, but you would say things like that. But so let's look at his numbers right now, and just through two games, he threw three touchdowns last week. He had the Hail Mary. He's thrown five touchdowns, and he had 177 yards against the Raiders. You wouldn't really consider that a good game, right? I think under 200 is not considered a good game.
It's not great. I mean, that's...
Now, he had...
It's okay if your defense makes a big play. Like, okay, they had a pick six or something, but when your defense doesn't make a play and you have under 200 yards passing, it's what went wrong.
And he had 308 yards and three touchdowns and a pick against Washington. But he had the pick and he had a fumble. He fumbled it, didn't dive on it at all, thought he was down, and just kind of rolled into a defender's arms. So you're just looking at trajectory. Those numbers, first game, I would say, okay, he had two good drives and that was it. Second game, two good drives again, three good drives, maybe more than that. But are those numbers, if he stays on this trajectory, 177 against Miami, 300 against Chicago, 170 against the next team, whoever that is. I don't think that that trajectory is going to be good enough to where the Broncos really try to make a go of this thing. He is going to have to play outside of himself the rest of the way here. And I know it's early. A lot of things can happen, but we saw a full season under Hackett. And yes, it looks a little bit better this time around. Could that be Sean Payton is that much better of a head coach than Hackett? So the spacing and all that is just better for Russ. More time in the pocket, more room to move around and ultimately step up in the pocket and take off and run, and then find an open receiver downfield. That could be Sean Payton at this stage. You just don't have the right quarterback. And I'm not blaming Russ. He hasn't been the problem. I think we agree it's Vance Joseph in the defense. But it sure feels like if you're going to be in a position where you could be in the top 10, there's going to be some guys there to take a look at.
Yeah, and I think the best thing you could do for Russ is to rely on their running game. I'm just looking at the stats from last year, and you know, he had over 40 throws twice, and you know, those are both one was the Tennessee game and one was the Seattle game, and then most of his throws he was like 24 in the last Chargers game, and I think just it feels like he's putting so much pressure on himself because he has to be old Russ or he has to put up big numbers. And maybe that's a conversation he needs to have with Sean and with Peyton and say, hey, run the ball, please.
This team went away
from
that.
Run the ball.
Javonte had 12 carries. You can't do that.
He should have 20 every single game.
They had 25 total, but Russ, six or seven of those was Russ scrambled.
And how many of those are designed?
Yeah, not a lot. So you got to be, again, I'm not. My gut just tells me it's clunky and you got wristband problems and play clock problems and he's still missing open receivers. In that two-point conversion when Cortland Sutton arguably should have got a defensive pass interference call, dude, Jerry Jeudy was wide open on the left side of the field. Mm-hmm. And it's just like he's triggered in on this play rather than going through his progression. He had time.
Is he overthinking?
It all looks overcomplicated for him. And it's a complicated position. I don't know how these guys do it. I don't know how the great ones do it.
It's frustrating because he is a vet. You know, he had so much success in Seattle with, you know, we learn more and more about that relationship with Pete Carroll. But even then, it's like, he still made it work. So what
did Carroll simplify the crap out of things for him or what?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I don't get.
Because like, whenever I watched Seattle before, it never seemed like it seemed smooth, but it was kind of a chaotic smooth.
Yeah, right. It's almost like you scripted broken plays. Mm-hmm. We joked about that with Hackett. Do you start scripting broken plays? Almost like a kick return. Drop the ball on purpose to throw the kickoff team off and pick it up and run so they're looking around like, oh my God, a fumble somewhere. I mean, you look at the prospects right now. Caleb Williams. I don't know that the Broncos are going to be the worst team in the NFL. Worst team in the NFL is what, 2 to 3 wins, typically?
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be worse than the Cardinals.
I don't think so. There's Drake May, the quarterback out of North Carolina. There's Shedeur Sanders, of course. Get ready for that.
I think the question we're missing first is, who's making this pick?
Sean Payton.
George is gone?
Yeah. What's he doing? I mean, did he hire Vance? Or did George? Was that Sean Payton's call? Either way, that was a bad call. Right, I mean, now,
as George, you couldn't hire somebody. He didn't fire Vance.
No, he didn't fire him. He was a part of the. He hired Hackett. That was his hire. he came on at the end of Vic, but John Elway was still in charge and made that call.
Yeah.
There's going to be some decent quarterbacks that are projected in the first round, like a Spencer Rattler, the South Carolina quarterback. He was projected second or third, but maybe he's
almost a first overall pick a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he's turned into a solid quarterback.
J.J. McCarthy. Can he move his stock up a little bit? There's a few interesting guys. The Washington Penix.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a second or third prospect, third round prospect, but he might move up.
Sure.
Denver's going to have to figure things out pretty quickly because you go 0-3 to Miami, and then they got Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Must win upon must wins, if that even matters, though, because the rest of the schedule looks so difficult for you.
Be competitive against Miami, beat Chicago.
Beat the Jets now? Maybe that's a jet. Maybe, yeah, that's a win now.
I mean, I think the Jets are too, like, they're so close to panicking. It's not even, yeah.
So much of it was Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Now, they got a decent defense, they think, and Breece didn't run the ball really well, didn't get many carries.
Bad quarterback.
Can't do a lot with that. Not everybody can be San Francisco. It's hard to do. Okay, every once in a while, we're doing this segment, Angel, and I love this segment because I love the drama of pressure and who's feeling it the most. We got the pressure cooker coming up next. Who's in there this weekend? Who is really under some major pressure? Week two in the NFL, week four for some, week three for others, depending on who you ask, in college football. All that and more coming up next. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
This is why I was born. I thrive on pressure.
The pressure's already setting in.
Feel the pressure with your hand.
See, now that you've finally won a game, right? You feel looser, the pressure is off.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad.
Mind your business, all right? It's just emotional, and it's pressure.
I love the Coach Klein drop there, Angel. That's a great coach right there. I think they're all like at a bar, too. He's like, okay, now that the pressure's off here, you got your first win.
He's at their party.
Yeah.
their one party win.
I love that. Were they Mud Dogs?
Mm-hmm.
The Mud Dogs.
Like South Louisiana County Valley Mud Dogs.
Love that movie. I used to watch that on VHS all the time. I was one of those. Pressure cooker here. Who are we putting in it right now? It's early in the season for everybody. It is, but it's never too early to start talking about who's really feeling the pressure right now. And let's start with the Denver Broncos. We just talked about them. Sean Payton isn't under this an immense amount of pressure as far as he's going to lose his job if they win four games this year. They invested in him. They also all probably knew going in, hey, Sean, we're in this Russ thing. We think you can fix him, but I don't know. And it's not going to be like an indictment on you if you can't, because he looked really bad last year. And he was honestly not that great the year before in Seattle. His numbers were good, but they weren't Russell Wilson numbers. So give it a shot, Sean. And if not, we'll go in a different direction when we can get out of this contract a little bit easier and you can find somebody that makes sense for you. I'm not going to put Sean there. I'm not going to put him in the pressure cooker. I am going to put Vance Joseph in the pressure cooker. Dude, he's three games away from 35 points, and he's out. I think he's three games away from being fired. I mean, it was a weird hire anyway. You fired the guy like 6 years ago. He goes back to Arizona, and he's the defensive coordinator. And they're okay. They had some up-and-down seasons, but last year they were a very middle-of-the-road defense. To bring a guy back like that that you just fired, that was kind of laughed out of the state, you would think he would have like a top five defense in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, and you talk about the fans, the leash was already short on Joseph.
Yeah, and now you look at him on the sidelines and it's the same facial expressions and it's like, what are we?
time of your life.
What are we? You know, it's just like that perplexed, like, anybody got any ideas here? So, Vance Joseph, you're in there, man. Russell Wilson, This is still it, man. This is it. You don't make it work in Denver. You are either going to go somewhere else and be a backup. You're not going to get another starting job like that. It's not going to be an easy thing for you.
Well, and I think this year, I don't think anyone's rooting against Russell. It's just we're frustrated.
Yeah. I love Russ. I loved him in Seattle. I'm dying for it to work. I'm dying to tweet, Russ is freaking back. And then that tweet isn't irrelevant in 5 minutes. You know, I want to do that. But Russ, you're there, man. This is it. You're on the final bus here. You're either a backup or you're out of the league. You would just retire and didn't make it work. And the whole Russell Wilson thing becomes a fiasco in Denver Broncos history. Colorado State Rams. Pressure is a building. You just went out, put on a huge show. Didn't win. Nobody expected you to. And you were in front of 9 to 11 million people.
You were the opening act to the biggest show on earth. And some agent found you after the show and said, hey, I want you to come perform at this gig next week.
Come headline at the Pueblo State Fair.
There you go.
Or Colorado State Fair in Pueblo.
So now you got to go back out the next weekend and put on just as good of a show.
Yep. And then if you do a good show there, we'll invite you to perform at Red Rocks. Keep doing that. Then you can go play at Ball Arena. After that, Empower Sports Field. Or whatever it is. That's the next step. Those are the people, the teams, entities, whatever. I'm putting in the pressure cooker this week. We'll see who survives. 49 minutes after the hour. What do we learn on this 19th day of September? Coming up next.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Oh, man, it's fun around here. Angel, all right, what did we learn on this 19th day of September? I learned a lot. I'm going to say, those of you saying that CSU's dirty players and they're bad guys and all that, we Jack Howland's studio, and I've talked to Jay Norvell a lot. I got a lot of respect for those guys and what they do. They're not a dirty team. They're the opposite of that. I haven't seen any indication from them in other games that I've seen over the years from that football team. They got a lot of good dudes over there, and it starts with Jay Norvell.
Absolutely, and you know it's so easy for us to get lost in the game and the name on the jersey and the social media stuff, but these are kids. They're 19, 20 years old, but they're still kids.
They're still in this different world. Even if they're 21, they're still in a different world.
Yeah, and you know, if they're not kids, they're people. Yep. They have feelings, and let's just be done with this, with the Blackburn Hunter stuff. Thank God they're both healthy and they're both fine. Coaches have moved past this. We got bigger games to worry about this weekend. Save it till next year when it comes back to Fort Collins. We can have all of this stuff over again.
We need a good long break from that, though, I'll tell you. I'm ready to see what happens for both of these teams this weekend. CU has a huge test against Oregon. We'll start talking about whether they can cover that. I don't know. I know Oregon's good, but how good is CU?
What's the Buffs mentality right now?
Yeah, and Travis Hunter's out, so it's like Deion Primetime said, it's going to be cornerback by committee a little bit. Going up against Oregon like that? Eesh. It could be a lot of points in that football game. A lot of points. That's going to do it for us. We got the UNC Coaches Show tonight at 6:30 with Blake Olson and Matt Gaeter. Right before that, Brew Talk with Chad Young and Dr. Michael Mosier and Scott Magerflesh. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.